Husker Doc Talk Podcast 2015, number 17. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast. This podcast is presented by the Remington Trophy. Don't forget about the Remington Trophy presentation coming up January 16th, 2016, Rococo Theater, Lincoln, Nebraska. For ticket information, go to RemingtonTrophy.com. I'm Travis Justice, joined once again by former Husker great, as we learned last week, as Brandy Peterson was in studio, 1994, 1995, Big 8 Athlete of the Year, all-around nice guy, all-around smart guy, Dr. Rob Zadiska. What's up, Doc?
How are you doing tonight?
You know, you are live via Skype tonight. Usually you've been in the studio, but you had to work late, and with the bye week, we thought we'd save you some gas mileage and some time in the car and just have you go over Skype.
That harsh drive across Omaha.
Yeah, it's a hard drive, but you know the Skype almost makes it sound like you're right here in the studio. Very close, but it's still not the same drinking beer without you. Just to let you know.
That's because I'm not with you.
I know. We have this bromance. I think people are worried about us, but you know,
mainly are just our wives.
Of course, if you have found the Husker Doc Talk podcast, more likely than not, you found us through HuskerMax.com, and we appreciate the good folks at HuskerMax.com. They put out great content each and every day. They keep you up to date on what's going on with the Big Red each and every day, including distributing the Husker Doc Talk podcast. When you need Husker news, go to HuskerMax.com. Rob, I was going to, you know, my first question to you was going to be, well, let's talk about the benefits of a bye week. But unfortunately, on Tuesday, we got what I would call a little bit of surprising news as we heard about an alleged rape or sexual assault that may have taken place at the home of Tommy Armstrong and Jordan Westerkamp. No indication these two are suspects in the sexual assault, but the way this thing unfolded just made me scratch my head. First of all, Tommy Armstrong talking to the media before he alerted Sports Information or anybody else that this was going on. Mike Riley finding out about it at 11 o'clock right before it broke on Omaha.com. And then having not really even talked to his players about the situation before it went public. Did that surprise you a little bit?
You know, it did a little bit, but on the flip side, I think it was one of these situations where you've got a combination. I'm talking about just the dissemination of information here. And in that sense, you know, when you look at social media, when you look at electronic media in this day and age, news is going to spread fast. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what Armstrong and Westerkamp's time frame was on letting the coaches know. This is the kind of thing that normally when something like this happens, one of the first people you call is the coaches. I mean, it's amazing how much life revolves around that team and that activity when you're a college athlete. I mean the team and the sport tends to become a little bit of the center of your universe, and so when something like this comes up, normally that's the first thought that goes through your head when something like this does happen. But at the same time, too, you talk about how fast the information spreads, and I think some of this happened at just an ungodly fast pace in that the allegations were made, the police investigated. I think the media, honestly, they follow the police. I mean, there's somebody. Well, you've worked at radio stations and television
yes.
stations. There's always a police or fire scanner going at all times.
Absolutely,
you know exactly what's happening. And so, when that happens, when that comes over the scanner and they find out what's going on, the media knows what's happening in real time with the actual event. So when the police were going to Armstrong and Westerkamp's house, I guarantee you somebody was listening to a police scanner in Lincoln to find out, just listening to hear what would pop up. And as soon as you heard such and such address, occupants, Westerkamp, Armstrong, I guarantee you reporters were being dispatched or somebody was calling the whatever you want to call it, the public service officer for the Lincoln Police Department, some kind of media spokesperson for the police department, to find out what's going on, charges filed, what exactly is the background story here, to find out what's going on. And so at the time that these players are having police show up on their doorstep with these allegations and to do an investigation, I guarantee you the media knew about it darn near in real time.
Well, I don't know if because here's what I think would happen. I don't think they knew about it on Sunday. I think they knew about it when the police report was filed on Monday. And so you have most news organizations, whether it be the World Herald, whether it be 1011 in Lincoln, Channel 7 in Omaha, or the Lincoln Journal Star, you have somebody who's assigned to go to the police station and filter through and go through every single police report that was filed over the weekend. Obviously, there's a lot more police reports. It's a shitty job. It really is. It is one of the worst jobs that you would ever want to have in a newsroom. And some people get off on it. There are crime beat reporters who absolutely get off going through police report and try to find something, an interesting story out there. So if you look at the police report, you see where the house was, you see who was interviewed, and little red flags go off, and then you start doing a little bit more investigating, and that's where you find out. You know, I don't know if they heard on Sunday, but I guarantee that's where they got it on Monday. And I guess I was just shocked if the police had showed up on Friday, or on Sunday rather, to interview Tommy Armstrong, Jordan Westerkamp, and they didn't call Trey Foster. If they didn't,
and he's kind of been left out of it.
Yeah, because he's not a very big name compared to the other two. But if you don't call your coach like right after that, and he doesn't find out, I think I said Tuesday earlier, I believe it was Monday afternoon. That's crazy, man. That is absolutely crazy.
Well, and I think I hate calling it a trust issue, and it probably is on the coaching staff side. And when they got to find out about this darn near secondhand, I don't want to say there's not a trust issue there, but I do question the thought process of these guys and not alerting the coaches that, hey, this could be breaking in the news within the next 24 to 48 hours. And the other thing is you let them know so you can give them your side of the story first.
Well, let me ask you this, because you went through this. You saw it a lot when you were playing.
What?
You did.
Please.
You saw it a lot. A lot of guys got in trouble in your day. Did you guys know about it?
I think that's a bit of an exaggeration.
You know me.
Just because we had a couple of guys who beat up the baseball team.
Okay, but when something bad did happen, whether it was with Christian Peter or Abdul Muhammad or somebody else, when something bad did happen, did you guys know about it before it broke? Did they tell you, hey, listen, this is probably going to happen, and this is going to break in the news, just don't answer any questions? Were you guys... Was there that level of trust where they got the team together and said, be prepared for this?
I think, yeah. And I mean, it wasn't a case of, hey, it was never don't talk to the cops.
No.
But it was, hey, here's what's going on. Be prepared. And nobody ever told us, here's talking points. But I mean, there was kind of a, here's what's going on. Here's the story as we know it. And just be judicial in what you say and don't say.
Of course, if you follow Dr. Rob on Twitter, which you should, at DocTalkSports, you will know that after the Rutgers game on Saturday, he got in his car and he drove to the Benson Brewery in the heart of Benson. And him and his lovely wife, Jennifer, had some dinner, had some beer. And that's because the Benson Brewery...
Oh, God, it was good,
The
too.
Benson Brewery supports the Husker Doc Talk podcast, and we support the Benson Brewery. What'd you have to eat, by the way?
I went with the duck shepherd's pie.
Ooh,
I've been tweeting about it back and forth with them, and I had to give it a try. Oh, my God, it was awesome.
That sounds like really, really good, man. Did you?
It was stand up and slap your grandma so good. It was that kind of good.
What kind of beer did you drink?
You know, I had a couple of their American IPAs, and then I had a couple of their, the Fix. You and I killed a growler of the Fix one day doing the podcast about a month back. I had a couple of, that's kind of their, in my mind, that's like their everyday beer. It's not too dry. It's not too sweet. It's not too hoppy. It's kind of their good middle of the road beer, but it's still just a ton of flavor. Great beer though. But I had a couple of those. Yes, Jennifer did drive me home.
Well, that's good because she had their
hamburger special, which was a mushroom and. I couldn't even tell you what kind of cheese it was. I can't pronounce it, but it was delicious. She gave me a couple bites of that. They got their pretzel sticks are insane. Oh, have you ever tried them?
Yes, I have with that sauce. It's unbelievable. And of course,
they're about the size of my forearm.
They just had a great write-up in the Omaha World Herald as well. It's the Benson Brewery. It's 6059 Maple, and now they have their party room open. 4 84-inch projection screens. If you're getting ready to plan a holiday party, I highly recommend the Benson Brewery because you get in there. You get the office in there, and you can have great homemade craft beer in the heart of Benson. It's the Benson Brewery.
We ducked into the party room, the sports room. Yeah. I don't know what you want to call it with the TV screens.
Yeah.
It was packed. That place is going to be awesome.
Of course, you watched Nebraska get the win over Rutgers. It was a pretty convincing win over a really bad team. But Nebraska's won two in a row, which is a huge accomplishment.
First time this year.
Yeah, first time this year. It's hard to believe we're saying that.
When would you have thought in November you're saying Nebraska won two in a row for the first time this year? Or... it was a big accomplishment.
You know, they look good at times. They looked okay at times. But Tommy Armstrong, he's gonna save you, but he's gonna drive you nuts because you can't throw three picks, Rob. You just can't.
And that was one of those games that when you said they looked good at times and they looked okay at times, they would have looked great the whole day if you took away those picks. Because you remove those picks, it probably negates Rutgers scoring at all. I think it turns into a runaway win at that point. I mean, that probably should have been a 35-0 game at the end of the third quarter if you don't have those interceptions.
But you know as well as I do, turnovers are a part of the game. They'll haunt you. They'll plague you. And you and I were joking back and forth, and we're going to have a great debate about this next week, and that is the Iowa-Nebraska game coming up. But the only thing I want to touch upon that is, and you still think, and a lot of people do, that Nebraska's going to beat Iowa. I think it's going to be one hell of a game. But the only thing I said to you is Tommy Armstrong throws three interceptions against Iowa. They're not winning. They're not.
That would be a death knell in my mind to Nebraska's chances of winning against Iowa. You have turnovers like that. You know, I honestly still truly think Nebraska's got a solid shot.
So I do too. Now, I think it's going to be a great game.
Maybe I'm being overly optimistic.
I think it's going to be a great game.
You look at what Nebraska's done, and I mean. This is going to be a very oxymoronic sounding statement, but Nebraska looked better losing to Wisconsin than I thought Iowa looked beating Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was on the road. That was one of those, it was a 10-6 game. It was ugly. That was another turnover play game. Iowa's only had one game where it's had really bad turnovers, and Wisconsin was it. And Wisconsin didn't do itself any favor with turnovers that game either. So, you know, that was just an ugly game. I'll give that one to you. I'm not going to dispute that one at all.
I mean, I remember up through about early in the third quarter of that Nebraska-Wisconsin game, The whole time I'm sitting there thinking, how is Iowa undefeated at this point? Watching what Nebraska was able to do against Wisconsin. I really think that goes out and plays relatively mistake-free, and they've done some decent things in that department. The reducing the penalties has been mind-blowing to me.
I'll tell you how Iowa's unbeaten, if you really want to know, is they got really good skill position. They got a great quarterback. They got a good running back. But here's the big one. They lead the Big Ten in turnover margin, and they lead the Big Ten in takeaways. That's how
those are huge statistics. And I think, you know, everybody knows turnovers have an impact. Those are almost underrated statistics. They're truly that important to a game. And I think you saw Nebraska. If you watch that Nebraska-Rutgers game, Rutgers is horrible. They are just a disaster of a football team.
And
that might have been that was. I never thought I'd say this. Where I watched a game and I thought to myself, "My God, I can't believe how they got a worse offensive line than Nebraska had." I mean, the Rutgers offensive line is just a disaster. And Nebraska's defensive line, that's the first time we've really seen a Nebraska defensive line living in an opponent's backfield. And they did it all day long. What did they have? I think it was 6 sacks against Laviano. I mean, it was just ridiculous. That poor quarterback was running all over the place. But that's the first game we've really seen Nebraska do that to a team. Now, I think Banker pulled out a lot of blitzes. And I don't know if it's blitzes we just haven't seen or if it's he was just blitzing that often. But he was blitzing. He was getting sacks. They were getting pressure on him. That was an ugly game, and Rutgers is a horrible team. Nebraska should have just destroyed them. And like I said, 35-0 at the end of late in the third quarter, in my mind, I think that's even maybe a little bit of an understatement. I mean, that's a game that could have been 42-0, 49-0 if you didn't have those interceptions.
Of course, earlier when we started the podcast, you heard me mention the Remington Trophy presentation coming up on January 16th. We are recording this on Wednesday night at 8:32 p.m. That means we are 58 days, 9 hours, and 57 minutes away from the 2015 Remington Trophy presentation. And this year, the guest speaker will be Lee Corso from ESPN. So you won't want to miss that. It's good to have Lee Corso in town. He'll tell lots of funny stories. People love Lee or they hate Lee, but everybody knows. Everybody knows the contribution he's made to ESPN Game Day. And then the Ford Legends Award winner is going to be Jeff Saturday, former North Carolina standout. Of course, went on to be a star in the National Football League most of his career with the Indianapolis Colts. So go to RemingtonTrophy.com to get your tickets and learn more about the Remington Trophy presentation, which benefits the Boomer Esiason Foundation, of course, which is in the fight against cystic fibrosis. So the Huskers get a week off. You mentioned they've won 2 in a row, Rob. Is the week off good here? And what I mean by everybody's going to say, God, good time to get a week off. You get to prepare for Iowa, going to get healed up. But Nebraska was on a roll. I mean, it beats Michigan State. It beats Rutgers. You kind of get in that momentum. Does the week off good or does it slow you down? Does it put the brakes on?
I got to be honest. Normally, I'm one of those guys who usually I absolutely hate them. This might be the first time in, several years that I've actually looked at a bye week and said this is a good thing. You know, kind of cool off some injuries here a little bit, maybe potentially get a few guys back. Nebraska's hurting a bit. I mean, this is a banged-up team. I think Nick Gates at right tackle still battling some niggling injuries. He's looked good, I think, the past 2 weeks. It's nice been having him back, but I think a week off would be better. It'll help the offensive line on the whole. I think it'll help the defensive line. You look at the linebackers with Banderas, who I think has still been kind of nursing a little bit of some issues with his ankle. It'd be nice to have him up to speed. Armstrong with this ligament sprain in the foot, the turf toe, getting him a little bit of time off and, again, some chance to heal up. I was going to say get Newby back and healthy, but on the flip side, I'd almost rather stay with Amani Cross and Divine Azigbo at running back. I think they do a better job, and I think they're more consistent performers, at least over the last couple of weeks. So,
and that's what you need. You need consistency is what you need.
It is, and I think Nebraska's offense, it's the first time we've had a little of that consistency. You know, you can talk about the momentum, but I mean, in a season like Nebraska's had where these things just change on a dime, I don't know if it makes a difference if they played a game this week or not. I mean, I think it's a total toss-up. This team is right now maybe kind of in position of finding themselves. And so, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I mean, my hope is that you get a few guys a little bit healthy. You give Riley and his staff time to prepare. Sometimes that makes a difference. Sometimes it doesn't. Some coaches do really well coming off of a bye week. I don't have a feel for Riley with it. This is our first bye week. I mean, the last time we had anything resembling this would have maybe been going into that BYU game. I think Iowa's maybe a little bit more of a known quantity now that we're playing them in the last game of the season as opposed to playing a team in the first game of the season like BYU. So yeah, I think Nebraska's going to know what to expect from Iowa. I think for that reason, having the bye week helps. It helps you with preparation. Nebraska has historically played pretty well against Iowa. Now, I say well, take that with a grain of salt. I think Nebraska's lost, what, one game against Iowa since joining the Big Ten?
They played three, right? So this would be the fourth, so it would be...
You're right, this is number five.
So yeah, they're one and three. You would be correct. Now, you know, last year was a great game with overtime.
Iowa, let's get this straight. Iowa is 1-3.
Yes, Iowa is 1-3.
Okay.
Yes.
So there's that one in Lincoln a couple years ago. I didn't consider that a very good game.
What you mean with the one Iowa blew them out in?
Yeah. The one that still has me scratching my head wondering how come Pelini didn't get fired after that one.
That's the one where he got mad at Kirk Ferentz.
They come from behind to win in overtime last year, and he gets fired. So I've got a lot of respect for Iowa. I've got a lot of respect for what Ferentz has done there, especially this year, and having the motivation to make the changes that he did, because I think it's been, you know, he made some changes. Some of them might be subtle looking at it on the outside. Yeah. They're calling games differently. I mean, it's the playbook's not that different, but how they're calling them, their situational plays are different. You know, you've told me before from your experience that Rudock was maybe not a bad person, but there was bad chemistry with him in the locker room.
It's interesting.
But I think getting rid of him made a difference.
It did, you know, and in full disclosure, I host the Iowa Hawkeye call-in show on WHO Radio after Iowa games. And the truth is, and C.J. Beathard said it yesterday, Rob, that there was no leadership on that team a year ago. And leadership means a lot, and leadership comes in a lot of different forms. And the truth is, when you guys were in your heyday, you guys had great leadership. And if you look at every good team, whether it was Nebraska back in the 90s, Alabama, USC. Look at great teams. Great teams have great leaders. And sometimes that leadership can propel, even if you're gelling as a team, can propel you to do amazing things and play. And once you get that confidence, who knows what falls into place?
Well, and I think Beathard's done a wonderful job in that regard. I mean, if you look at the interviews of the Iowa players, these guys have a huge amount of respect for him. He's been playing hurt for a good chunk of the last
He's got a groin injury, which is going to be that. That's why that's why Nebraska gets a week off. Iowa has to play Purdue. They're going to sit back and watch this. They're going to see his weaknesses, and he has some if he's going to run gimpy. So I think the week off helps Nebraska, but it's also going to be part of that momentum what they need to get in. Of course, we like the supporters of the Husker Doc Talk podcast, and one of those would be the Chicago Doghouse, located at 3157 Farnham in Omaha. We encourage you to get there during the week, but Kelly's going to be down at Memorial Stadium one more time. That'll be for the Iowa game. He's located at 9th and P, so before and after the game, it's going to be a 2:30 kickoff. Get there early, have some Chicago dogs, and then after the game, you can have another Chicago dog. Tell them you listen to the Husker Doc Talk podcast. Visit the Weenie Wagon at 9th and P on game day. Visit the store at 3157 Farnham in Omaha during the week. And Rob, it was funny because I think more Husker fan, I'm trying to think what Husker fan enjoyed more over the weekend. Beating Rutgers or watching Bo Pelini go absolutely ballistic in the Youngstown game.
You know, I'm laughing at this, and I got to be honest, I probably shouldn't be, because that was one of those things where I sat and watched it. And at first, my inclination was to laugh. After that, good Lord, it's all of a sudden, and I was probably a little bit of a Pelini apologist. I was rather okay with the guy. when you see that, all of a sudden, the thought went through my mind. It was sort of a aha moment that, dear God, so this is what everybody else was seeing. When you're seeing it from the outside looking in, finally, you realize what everybody else in the country was seeing when they're looking at us. It was all of a sudden, I don't know if it's possible to be embarrassed a year in hindsight, but damn it, all of a sudden I'm embarrassed a year in hindsight. And it was when he's your coach, you're looking at it, and there's kind of a sense of, well, the guy's got fire and he cares, and he's pissed off and angry because he's upset because he's backing us. He's part of us. When you're looking at it from the outside, it's just one of those like, oh, dear God, that's embarrassing. Oh, wait, he used to be our coach. It's impressive to see the viewpoint all of a sudden when he's no longer your coach. Because, yeah, I can't say I liked it when he was in Lincoln. I don't think it was that bothersome. It bugged me more watching it with him as Youngstown's coach. And I don't give a rat's ass about Youngstown.
Yeah.
I don't.
And I think he was probably more mad at that call in Youngstown than I think I ever saw him in Nebraska. Or maybe you just don't think it was as bad as when he was coaching your team. But it was pretty bad. And here's the thing. I like Bo. Bo's a good guy. He you know, I know people are going to go, you're crazy.
I think at heart he's a good guy.
Yeah. And it's just some guys just react different. I would think that he would learn. That's what amazes me is that I know he says he is who he is, and that's the way he's not going to change. Well, if you're not going to change, you're going to have people talking about you for a long, long time. And if you ever, ever want to be, and Bo's been mentioned for a couple big jobs out there that are going to be open, I think that hurt his chances. I think people look at it and go, God, he's a liability.
I think it'll make people think twice,
yes,
at least.
Yeah, I think they go, is he a liability? Is he a ticking time bomb? And the answer is yes. You appreciate the passion, but man. But it was funny just to watch Husker fans. They reacted, I think, with more glee and more joyfulness over Bo blowing up in a Youngstown State game than they did with a win over Rutgers.
I got to be honest with you. I think some of that happiness that Husker fans had in watching that, to a degree, I think Husker fans see that and they want it to kind of vindicate or justify the decisions that were made to get rid of
him. Yeah. Yeah.
If you see that and he looks bad and you realize, oh, God, that looks horrible. Thank God that's not our coach. I think you feel a little bit better about the fact that you're, well, sitting here with a 5-6 record right now. So. It helps in that regard, I think. So, I mean, like I said, I was okay with Bo, but boy, that was embarrassing.
Here, I started the music too soon. Now I can start it. He's Dr. Rob Zadiska. I'm Travis Justice. The Huskers are off this week, but we want to thank you for taking a half hour of your time to listen to the Husker Doc Talk podcast. Make sure to follow Dr. Rob on Twitter at Doc Talk Sports. He's pretty active on Twitter. I think you'll find him very, very enjoyable. Of course, the big Iowa game next week, the Heroes game. Rob and I are going to sit in the studio, and we're going to go position by position and talk about the comparison, because we're going to have fun with this, because everybody knows I'm the Hawkeye in the group and he's the Husker in the group. It's the Husker-Hawkeye game. It's going to be a good one, though, Rob. And you know what? That's what makes a border war a rivalry, is when it comes down to stuff like this. Thanks to the Remington Trophy for being the presenting sponsor of the Husker Doc Talk podcast. For ticket information on this year's Remington Trophy presentation, go to remingtontrophy.com. For Dr. Rob Zadiska, I'm Travis Justice. We'll talk to you next week on the Husker Doc Talk podcast.